Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Tuesday, January 21st, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 73, the second paragraph. The inconsistency is made worse through one paragraph ending that makes for more drinking. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Leelan P. Readers of the text, Yvonne A., Joan Marie M., and Anne S.C.H. The reference number for Monday, January 20th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22093. That's 22093. And for this morning, Tuesday, January 21st, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 22095. That's 22095. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Diane B., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Mary P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you so much, Dawn. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and here are the 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves, could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P. I'll now ask Leelan P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, it's Leelan P., recovering compulsive overeater in Berlin, Germany. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Leland P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 73, the second paragraph. The inconsistency is made worse through one paragraph ending, that makes for more drinking, and we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. I'll now ask Yvonne A. to read and then share with us.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Dawn. My name is Yvonne A., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from BC, Canada. The inconsistency is made worse by the things he does on his sprees. Coming to his senses, he's revolted at certain episodes he vaguely remembers. These memories are a nightmare. He trembles to think someone might have observed him. As fast as he can, he pushes these memories far inside himself. He hopes they will never see the light of day. He is under the constant fear and tension that makes for more drinking. And yes, that describes my life, really, the fear and tension. I was a ball of fear and anxiety within minutes of waking up every morning. Yesterday, the paragraph talked about stage characters, and this part of the disease really presented itself in my work life. I wanted to be, all those great actors that I needed to be at my job to be really good at it. And if I was good enough, then I would be not noticed for being morbidly obese, for being more than 100 pounds overweight. But I knew there was that peace inside of me that knew deep down that I was an imposter, that these sprees that I would go on that nobody knew about were the real me. And then, just thinking back and where it says that, I'm revolted. I remember standing in front of the mirror with no clothes on, just berating myself, telling myself how horrible I was, how stupid I was to keep doing this to myself over and over and over again. And yet I did. And yes, I've done things where I tremble at the thought that someone would see me. I was practicing bulimia at one point, and I can remember going into the bathroom at work or in a public washroom or even at home or someone else's house. It didn't matter where I was. Business had to be taken care of, and being terrified that someone would come along or that there'd be some sort of evidence that I had taken this. And I always knew I had this one telltale sign of red marks on the back of my knuckle that I never, ever breathed that. In fact, it might be the first time I'm saying it out loud now even, because I was terrified that someone might go, oh, look, she's got those marks on her fingers. She just made herself sick. And so I did. I tried to run away from me. And of course, everywhere I went, I was still there. And so that fear was just with me day and night. And how did I cope with that? I ate more. Somehow, that little tiny bit of reprieve that I got from eating at the time, and it didn't last long, but it did. There was no doubt that it had an effect. There was a soothing. There was an ease that came when I took those bites, only to be followed by guilt, remorse, shame, all the usual things that we talk about. And fear was always underlying, that I wasn't good enough. I was never going to be good enough. And somebody was going to know that. And it was just, yeah, that was my daily life. That was how I lived. And this program, the gift of this program, has been the release of that fear and that anxiety. I talk to many of you. You know me. I share openly. Thank you, Dawn, about who I am now, even with lots of people who aren't in program. And it's just made for such a more joyous life. Thank you for letting me share. And I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Yvonne A. from BC, Canada. Beautiful way to get us started. And I'll now take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us? Press star 1 if you'd like to share.
Linda G.
Linda G.
Loretta H.
Loretta H. Who else would like to share? Press star 1. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Let's start with Linda G and followed by Loretta H. And then we'll take some more names after that. Linda G, please share with us.
Thank you. I'm Linda G, a compulsive overeater and anorexic and restrictor and recovering a day at a time. This really brings to mind some painful memories because my last job, I was starving myself, so no one would really see that I wasn't good enough while I was trying to be the big shot at the same time. And it was really painful because I was trying to deal with the grandiosity that I felt and trying to disappear at the same time. And I was losing weight at a rapid rate, and everyone was noticing. And I thought that was wonderful because I wanted to be tiny and small. At the same time, I wanted to be larger than life. And the inconsistency of it was driving me crazy. And I couldn't face up to that. And the memories are a nightmare. They were very difficult because I couldn't own myself. I wasn't in program at the time, and I didn't have any help. I didn't have anyone to help me see what I needed to do. And I am so grateful I have program today because I can see now where I went wrong and how I could have handled it so much better. And I'm grateful to be recovering a day at a time because I know I'll never have to go through that again. And I have a higher power now to show me the way. And I have fellows who I can talk to help me straighten myself out. And I'm going through that now with my program, with trying to decide if I'm behaving in an anorexic way or just trying to refocus myself. And it's hard. It's really hard because I've lost a couple of pounds and I don't know if that's an okay thing or not. And it's very confusing. And I would appreciate some outreach calls. Okay, thank you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much for letting me share, and thank you for giving service today.
Oh, thank you, Linda G. from Alabama. Loretta H., it's your turn to share, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning, Dawn, and good morning all, along with my precious God. You do save my life. Welcome to the newcomer. I am recovered for today with the grace of God and this program. And our darkest past is our greatest asset. That's one of my favorite paragraphs in the big book, Psalm 124. And then, who does God want me to be? When I find myself, I find God. And I actually love the word diet and like dieting and being on some sort of diet. And I actually took my first job for my weight and all my outsides, because at that time in 1968, you had to be perfect and walk down the aisles with, you know, being svelte and all of that stuff. And I was such a fraud. And today, it was, I know that today, and I just celebrated a birthday in this program of over 8,000 days, so you guys can figure that out, but it was because of the searching. I am recovered today because of the searching, because I'm finding out who God wants me to be, and because I just celebrated a birthday, I'm doing more searching. And that's the wonderful part of this program. You know, I'm never going to graduate, but I'm always going to try to understand who God wants me to be. And in fact, I'm reading a book right now that my church gave out. And I never did this as an exercise, but they talked about actually writing your epitaph and seeing how you would look when you were dead. And it's been an interesting thing, because that's who God wants me to be. Hopefully, maybe then I'll get into the pearly gates. But also writing some of the negatives about me, you know, I was not altruistic, but I was a good girl. But I did it for the wrong reasons. To not be found out, to get what I wanted, or to not lose something I had. And today I don't have to do that, because God's going to love me no matter what. And it's not about my outsides, because it has been for many a year. It's about my insides. And if I can be kind, tolerant, generous, and that we have a fifth column when I do the steps, and that is what God wants me to be. So that was, hopefully, when I go to see him. it will be on my epitaph. And with that, I pass. God bless. Everybody stay safe and secure today in God's light. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Loretta H. What state are you from, Loretta H.?
North Carolina.
Perfect. Thank you so much. In case anybody wants to contact you from the member list. Thank you, Loretta H. from North Carolina. All right. Well, I'm now going to take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. And we're talking about page 73, the second paragraph. The inconsistency is made worse through one paragraph ending that makes for more drinking. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us today?
Janice K.
Janice K. Who else would like to share? Press star one. Now's your chance. We're not looking for an expert. We're looking for what this paragraph means to you.
Hillary B. from California.
Hillary B., thank you so much.
Danielle O. from New York.
Danielle O.
Correct.
New York.
Where are we reading again? What paragraph and page?
Sure, it's page 73, the second paragraph that starts with the inconsistency is made worse through one paragraph ending that makes for more drinking. Page 73, that second paragraph.
I'm so sorry I missed the page because I went to mute myself again.
Oh, no worries, no worries. Page 73, the second paragraph. And it starts with, the inconsistency is made worse through one paragraph ending that makes for more drinking. Very good. Who else would like to share? All right. We'll go with those three.
This is Ginny. Oh.
Oh, go ahead. Ginny?
Yeah, I can share.
Wonderful. Ginny, and what's your initial?
S.
S as in Sam?
Yes.
Okay, very good. And where are you calling from, Ginny?
Virginia.
Virginia, perfect.
I'd like to share, too. This is Martha O. in Vancouver, Canada.
Perfect. Martha O. from Vancouver, Canada. Perfect. That's a fantastic lineup. Wonderful. Anyone else? Okay, I have Janice K., Hillary B., Danielle O., Ginny S., and Martha O. Janice K., please get us started. Your 3 minutes start now.
Oh, thank you. Okay, this is Janice K. in Oregon. This is a very accurate picture of where I was. And I have been in the rooms and sitting at the table for quite a while. The earliest written date I can find in my stuff is, I think it was August of 87. So I have been present at the table for a while. And this is an actual picture of who I was.
Dog?
No, good girl. Out. Okay. Inconsistent. Yes, I was inconsistent. I had sprees. I found it revolting. The memories are a nightmare. But they're also true. Because I don't like looking at who I was, but I feel a great deal of compassion for that person. Oh, he trembles to think someone might have observed him. God save me from being seen. There are some of us who found it threatening to walk out into the world without the shield of the extra weight because it rendered us invisible and unacceptable. And that was okay with me because that meant I didn't get unwanted attention. As fast as I could, I pushed the memories far inside. Not so much the memories. I pushed the reality deep down inside so I didn't have to look at it. I hoped they would never see the light of day. Acknowledging this stuff gives me a deep compassion for people who are still there, because I'm not. I remember constant fear and tension and the search for, the never-ending search for escape, just from the ongoing sentence of living my life with my limited resources. This is an accurate picture of who I used to be. It is not the picture of who I am now. Oh. From the bottom basement of the skyscraper to very close to the top. I was going to say the top, but I hope I still have advances to make. I could never have done it myself. I am a product of my higher power, and I will give the God of my understanding all the credit for every change he, she, it, they, and I, or I, he, she, it, they, and I have ever made. And I'm not done yet.
Time.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you so much, Janice K. from Oregon. Hillary B., it's your turn, followed by Danielle O.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Hillary B. from Southern California, compulsive overeater recovered for today. And the consistency is made worse by the things he does on his sprees. You know, I'm noticing lately something I really don't want to notice. I'm abstinent for 21 months, entirely abstinent. I have grown a lot, learned a lot about myself. And so, you know, life is good, right? Well, I have mental sprees, not with food for today. I have sprees of fear, and my thoughts take over me, and I behave badly. And it's almost like I'm in a blackout, you know? Almost like I'm just shoving food down my throat, the way I'm behaving. And it's very unsettling and scary and difficult to face and admit. And it's scary because I don't know how to handle it or what to do about it. I do step 10s, and they help me immensely. But it's a lapse of remembering to connect with my higher power. I have to do it all day, every day. That has to be my number one goal in life, my number one practice every day. Or I get crazy and I start blaming people, especially people who are close to me. My feelings get hurt really easily. When it doesn't even have anything to do with me, I make it about me. And it's very disconcerting that even without putting a drop of alcoholic foods into me, I still can go there. And so I'm just sharing it out loud to all of you because that's the last thing I want to do. I will share it with people that I feel safe with, but to put it out there, as I'm hoping it helps me remember it more today and that I can remember that my number one goal is hook up with God every moment of every day. Don't hook up with my thinking. Don't hook up with my disease, which is of thinking. And because, you know, it's going to lead me right back to the food if I behave this way enough, or there will be one time. Oh, there's my time probably, huh? Thank you so much for listening and letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Hillary B. from California. Danielle O., it's your turn to share, followed by Ginny S. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about page 73, the second paragraph that starts with, "The inconsistency is made worse," through one paragraph ending that makes for more drinking. So Danielle O., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Danielle, compulsive overeater. So this part that I like in here is under constant fear and tension. Don't realize how blessed I can be in a moment. But I'll just go back and share that prior to November 12th, being in a pretty serious relapse was pretty stark in the fact of how much stress and other things, work-related, home-related stress led to hospitalization, which really turned out to be a case of Bell's palsy. And so when I look at all that, that was like a wake-up call. Time has passed. I'm recovered with that. But, you know, in the whole recovering process of it, I the food was not an issue. Not that I came back and got abstinent, but I just kind of had this neutralness about food because I knew what it had done. I knew what the stress had done to my body, and I knew I had put myself in a tough situation, and now it was time to clean it up. And that's kind of where I've been, getting to a lot of meetings and not really jumping back into OA. But today was one of those days where the tension had mounted to a place where all I wanted to do was eat. And I know that it's not the answer, but when I, in trying to let it go, was what I was, why I was reaching out today, because I know what the two equal, and that equals poor blood sugar levels. The stress leads to so many other issues in my body. So I'm just being humbled by that today. And really looking at, you know, what's the first thing I need to do? Yes, not compulsively overeat. Did I do great with that today? No. I am down 16 pounds, which is great. But I think, and knowing that I've always found more support in OA and that it's a better way to live, would really kind of help with where I am right now. Because the emotions are really kicking my butt right now. So I'm just glad to be here and to be able to, you know, meet new people. I do have a lot of phone numbers, and hopefully, you know, just stay connected. That's all I have today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Danielle O. from New York. Ginny S., it's your turn to share, followed by Martha O.
Hi, this is Ginny, and I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm addicted to sugar. I like this paragraph because, and I thank you for all the shares. What I took from that is I've been allowing myself to have indecision about, I mean, I'm really not yet in this program, but I've been in food programs in the past, and I've just been hanging on to, well, maybe I should go back to this one because this one doesn't work. And you know, all of them are just have been keeping me stuck stuck not taking step three and stuck in the problem. And when it talks about the spree or the what I've become aware of is that I have my health is. My doctor has said that I'm pre-diabetic, I'm moving to diabetes. And all that has done for me is put me more in denial, put me right at the refrigerator that much more. And I had not, I, you know, shut down that information. saying to myself, well, maybe if it got really bad, then I would take action. And those emotions, when those emotions come up, that tension it talks about, I either don't even, I'm not even aware, and I go right to the food to shut them down, or I think there's somewhere in the big book where it says, we wallow in that bog, that messy bog or something, and I allow myself to do that. And I don't choose to do that anymore. I really feel that hopefully just for today, with my higher powers help, I've made a decision. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Ginny S. from Virginia. And now, Martha O., it's your turn to share, and then I'll be taking some more names. Again, we're talking about page 73, that second paragraph. The inconsistency is made worse through one paragraph ending that makes for more drinking. So, Martha O., please share.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Oh, great. Okay. I got so confused between unmute and mute when I have not been on the line for a while, which I haven't, and I am so happy to be here today. I'm a very, very grateful recovered bulimic and compulsive eater, and probably every other variety of addictive eating disorder, and I'm in Vancouver, Canada, and I love calls and look forward to connecting with many of you, but I'm so, I felt like I had to share because this, reading this, just like, even though I'm in the midst of recovery now and connected and looking steps, like my heart started pounding, and it's the vividness of that sort of what I call the horrible downward spiral of having even just one really bad day after a period of recovery, or even just like somebody was saying, like spree actions, even if they don't involve food, just things that I know are like hurtful and dishonest and, or, you know, just bad periods of not working recovery, that feeling of revulsion and doing things that just become so uncomfortable for me to sit with that I just start, you know, I will always go back to my disease, to my substances, to the abusive behavior. And then it just becomes this horrible, horrible spiral that reminds me of the, I think it's actually in the doctor's opinion, that thing that says, their problems pile up upon themselves and become astonishingly difficult to solve. And I have been down that rabbit hole so many times, but what really struck me today, listening to all of you share and all the, just the recovery that shines through this line, and that the recovery that I have in my heart today, is that like, it can be this, exactly the same thing, like those feelings of horror and revulsion at what we've done, they don't have to be a nightmare, because like somebody else was just saying, like in God's hands, our dark past is our greatest possession. It's the key to our freedom and to freedom and happiness for others. So it's like that same thing can become part of the upward spiral into like recovery and towards God and towards a whole new life. If we just jump into this program and start not listening to ourselves, like every flaw and error and what seems like a mistake, every thing that feels so awful can be the beginning of the spiral upward into the way God wants us to live. And we, instead of hoping that they never see the light of the day, like we can just keep putting them into the light of day so that they become so meaningful and useful for other people. And that just gives me like, just feels like such a key to the miracle of this program. Like we can, anytime the help is available. So I'm so glad we read this today, and just wanted to share that with you. And thank you everyone for being here and for your service. God bless.
Oh, thank you so much, Martha O. from Vancouver, Canada. And now I'll take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Sonia S. from Pennsylvania.
I heard Sonia S. from Pennsylvania. And who else was there?
Sharon R. from Minnesota.
Sharon R., Minnesota.
Sherry H.M. Washington.
Sherry H.M. Washington. Who else would like to share? Okay, we'll go with that lineup. I have Sonia. Go ahead. Kaya C.
Beth C.
Oh,
Illinois.
Beth C. Illinois. All right. Very good.
What page and paragraph are we on, please?
Sure. We're on page 73, the second paragraph. The inconsistency is made worse through one paragraph ending that makes for more drinking. All right, so I have Sonia S., Sharon R., Sherry H.M., and Beth C. Sonia S., please get us started.
Hi, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Hi, this is Sonia S. from Pennsylvania, and I might sound upbeat, but I am in relapse right now, and it's really hard. I had about 5 solid months of being recovered and feeling a real sense of peace and joy. And then I started to put people, places, and things in front of my recovery. And that affected everything, basically. And I am just feeling indifferent and, but also a sense of like, what am I doing? This is crazy. Like, I can't live my life without this program and eating abstinently. And so I'm just today asking God for the willingness to be willing to do this program and to do whatever it takes and whatever my sponsor is asking me to do. And it's very humbling, but in a very, very good way. It just reminds me that I am powerless over everything, but I do have free will to make a choice to do this program with God's help and everybody else's help. And I'm really just grateful that I haven't left and that I'm still here. And hearing everybody share has given me a lot of hope, because I know that you all understand my predicament. And so I just wanted to say that again. It's Sonia S. from PA. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sonia S. from Pennsylvania. Sharon R., it's your turn to share, followed by Sherry H.M.
Good morning. This is Sharon R., a recovering compulsive overeater from the snowy and cold state of Minnesota. Thank you for taking the meeting today. As I was reading this paragraph, I had to look up at the prior paragraph to see what inconsistency they were actually talking about. And when I saw the alcoholic leads a double life, I knew I had to share, because outside a program that describes me perfectly, I had this persona to the outside world that I was this big, organic, healthy eater, never would eat gluten or whatever else was on my latest and greatest diet craze that I was doing. I exercised. I was pretty pompous about the things that I ate, but people didn't know what I was doing behind closed doors and that I was purging and over-exercising. And to counteract my binges, I was restricting. And where it said that trembles to think someone might have observed him, the times that I would be in my pantry binging, and even to have had the thought that my husband would have seen what I was doing, whereas in my heart of hearts, I know that my God saw. And so I would feel like, you know, that should be enough. That should be enough to know that I have a higher power that is watching me. And yet it didn't matter. As long as the people around me, my human friends and family, and thought that I still had this sense of like control, I guess would be the good word to say. Everyone thought I had control. So, you know, I would come out from these binges and the next morning I would just wake up and think, what in the world did I do? What in the world did I do? And so then came the fear that they talk about. And then that fear had to be calmed by more eating. And I myself am also coming off of a relapse and have a few weeks of abstinence and just feel so much more peaceful and so much more hopeful. And, you know, I was taught that this disease really thrives in the darkness. And I'm only as sick as my secrets. And the disease wants me to be ashamed and wants me to stay isolating. And so when I can come out of that darkness and share with other people and work this program, that's when I'm going to get well and that's when I'm going to get healthy and then I can help other people too. And so with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Sharon R. from Minnesota. Sherry H.M., it's your turn, followed by Bess C.
Good morning. This is Sherry H.M. from Washington State. Sherry with a C. So great to be on this line. Oh, gosh. The last line sentence says, he is under constant fear and tension. That makes for drinking. And when I was in the food, I would go into shame because I would stuff myself. I did not know what is wrong with myself. You know, how come everybody else can have just a little, like one cookie or this or that? And me, I have to have, you know, I cannot stop. I didn't know yet about the allergy and the first bite, which is just huge, to lead me back to the path I don't want to be. And so this told me, you know, that I really need to make sure that my heart is clean. There are issues of the heart. And, you know, if I'm in fear, if I'm in resentment, this big book says I can't afford the luxury of those because it's going to lead me right into the arms of my refrigerator. So I think I have to focus on, you know, serve thee, not me. This is so self-focused, and I have to really do the steps, even if I have to go back and do, you know, maybe even a step four on something that just won't, that I just can't seem to get past. And I know that, you know, I can't, God can, and I'm letting him. So anyway, we don't have to live on the shame train, and I'm so grateful for that. And have a wonderful day, everybody. And I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Sherry H.M. from Washington. And Beth C., I'm so sorry. We're out of time, but please come back tomorrow. We would love to hear your share. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Anne S.C.H. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Dawn. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for a man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass. For you and countless others, this is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until